We've been in a series called Rooted. Talks about the spiritual disciplines, and the phrase I've been talking about every week has been that the disciplines are merely a way for us to put ourselves before God and allow Him to work in our lives to change us to be more like Him. We've had a theme verse that we've talked about over the last few weeks, and it's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him. Those are all part of the process of our Christian faith, part of the process of our belief that we're walking in Christ Jesus, that we're being rooted in Him. And I've told you the illustration about the tree, and if the wind blows and the tree doesn't have roots to go down deep, the tree's just going to fall over. But if the roots are down deep, the wind will blow, and when those trials come of life and persecution hits, your roots will be deep and you won't just fall over under the pressure. This morning we're talking about service. What does it look like to be a servant? I want to give you a couple pictures this morning. One picture is this. A servant. Maybe some of you will be going out to restaurants after. I won't be the one taking your order, I'm sorry. But maybe you're going out to a restaurant afterwards and someone walks up and says, "What would you like today? How can I serve you today? What can I get for you? What would you like to drink? What would you like to eat? Let me wait on you." There's all sorts of areas of service. You take your vehicle to the shop and they service your vehicle, a different type of service. Now, of course, these types of servants usually are not servants. They're getting paid. They're getting money in order to give you something, and we even tip sometimes. We leave money to help them because they rely on that to be able to make a day's wages, and so we tip based on how the service was. This is one type of a servant, somebody who serves you. How did service make it into being one of the disciplines? How did service get there? I mean, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about studying God's word, and then we get to service, and I'm like, well, but prayer and studying God's word, let's just do those two. Those are enough, right? Let's take up some time. Those are enough. But then we get to service, and you think, why? Why serve? Jesus gives us the biblical example of servanthood, and in doing so, He also gives us an example that we are to follow, that we are to walk in, that we are to be rooted in, that we're to be built up in as we serve one another. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is where we'll be starting this morning in verse 3. John chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going back to God, He rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garment and, taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon, being Simon, said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Just wash all of me." Jesus said to him, verse 10, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed," heard that term this morning, "blessed are you if you do them." Blessed are you if you do them. Jesus comes and he gives us an example. He says in verse 14, "You also ought to wash one another's feet." Verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you as well." Jesus gives the ultimate example of servanthood in this passage. He takes off, the Bible says, he takes off his outer garment and he lays it aside and he takes a towel. He takes the towel and the Bible says he puts it around his waist. And the disciples at this point are watching and they're in shock and they don't quite understand what's happening. This is not Jesus' place. This is not what the master should be doing. If there wasn't a servant, normally, even the people who came in, it was their job to wash their own feet. Apparently, that did not happen. Apparently, there was some protocol broken, and now all of a sudden, Jesus and his disciples are sitting around the table. They've started the meal, the Passover meal, and none of their feet were washed. Jesus takes the opportunity and he ties the towel around his waist and he bends over and he begins to wash their feet. He comes to Matthew, and Matthew, he washes his feet and he's looking up into his eyes as he's washing the feet of Matthew. He comes to Bartholomew and he washes his feet. He comes to Peter and Peter says, "No, Lord, this is not right. You shouldn't be doing this. You're not in your right place here." But Jesus says, "If I don't wash you, you won't be a part of me." And so Peter, being the zealous Peter that he is, said, "I'm all in then. If you're going to wash me, wash all of me. Do it all." Jesus said, "No, someone who has been bathed, does not have a need to have their whole body clean, but just their feet." Jesus comes to John and he washes his feet. Jesus comes to Judas. Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him. Jesus took the basin and set it there and looked up into his eyes and washed his feet. Took the towel and dried off his feet. Jesus was a servant even to the one who was going to betray him. Jesus was a servant to the one who would later kiss him and the guards would lead him off to be tried and crucified. Jesus took on the role of being a servant. That example that we're to follow as well. Mark chapter 10 says, "For even the Son of Man," Jesus says this about himself, "for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ came to serve, but that whole picture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, we don't always get the context of that. There are several other things that happened that night that I want to just help us see a picture of this morning. John chapter 13, right after the verses I read this morning. John chapter 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said this to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How do you show your love? You serve one another." That was the example that Jesus had just given, but the other part of that night, sometimes we don't see. It's found in the book of Luke. It says this, "A dispute also arose among them." The disciples were human. Sometimes they had arguments. Sometimes they had things that they just, you know, when people are around each other, sometimes they rub each other the wrong way. Sometimes things happen. Some of you are nodding your heads like, this was last week for me. "A dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest." And Jesus, he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who served? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves." What was the picture that Jesus was giving them? They're there arguing about who's the greatest. And here Jesus is saying, it's not the one who's reclining at the table, it's the one who's serving. I've told you that sometimes it's the kingdom, when you look at the kingdom of God, it's like life upside down. It's life backwards, because we think, oh, we got to make it in this life. We got to do all these things. We got to be famous and rich and... But Jesus says it's not that. It's not building up all these earthly treasures. For the one who will be greatest will be the least. And the one who serves. The disciples are questioning each other about who's the greatest, and that means that there's a question over who's the least. Well, if I'm the greatest, then you're not the greatest. So this argument comes up, and they have this discussion. Maybe it got heated, we don't know, but the disciples had just had this tremendous example of service given to them. Maybe they were arguing over who was best or who was greatest or who was going to get the best seat next to Jesus. Who was the most important out of all the disciples? Was it Peter? Was it John? Oh, the beloved disciple. Who is the greatest? You see, the people who came and had to wash the feet, they were the least. In that day and age, before a meal of this importance, the Passover feast, they would normally bathe themselves. But travel from point A to point B, no matter how far it was, meant that there was going to be some buildup on their feet. There was dust and dirt and mud and even probably some animal droppings that they would have to walk through in order to get to point B. That meant that usually there was a basin in the home or the room that they were going to be using, and they would wash the feet, and then a servant would come and do that. But it wasn't even just a servant, but it was the lowest of the lowest of lowest of servants that would come and do that. Who wants to wash dirt and dust and mud and animal droppings off of somebody's feet? That's just kind of gross. Well, I have the highest ranking of the servants, so it's you. So even them, they would say, well, it's not me. And so nobody had taken that spot. None of the disciples had said, you know what, I see this as a need. Somebody stepped in something. Somebody stepped in something tonight, and that just, it's bad. We need to take care of that. None of the disciples said that. Even if they thought it. Who stepped up and did it? The Master, Jesus. The cultural equivalent today, I was trying to think, we don't wash feet. We do in this church's context. We have a foot washing service we do around Easter time. It's the Maundy Thursday service, which gives a picture of this and presents the mindset that we need to have in serving one another. But I was trying to think of the cultural equivalent. Like, if you went over to somebody's house today, they wouldn't have something sitting there where they would have a servant wash your feet as you entered their house. We just don't do that. We take off our shoes. And that's it. But it'd be kind of like if you decided you were going to wash their toilet. That's kind of the cultural equivalent. If you went into their house and said, I want to serve you today, let me clean your bathroom. Not the bathroom you let guests use, the other one. You're laughing, you know. Not the guest bathroom, the one that maybe didn't get cleaned right before we came. That's the cultural equivalent, being a servant to that end. Saying, hey, I'm willing to go that far for you. I'm willing to serve you to that point. Jesus came and he didn't just serve and wash feet. He served until the point of death, where he died on a cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus' act of service gives us several traits, and we're going to turn to another passage. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 spells out some of these traits that a servant is to have. Jesus' example of humility is the title that I have for this passage. And the first point, first trait of a servant is having the right mindset. Look with me at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, we need to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He doesn't even say we need to have the same mindset. I mean, he says that, but he says, you already have it, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's yours. You have the ability to have the same mindset as Christ when it comes to serving others. Jesus is our example. But this mindset involves placing yourself below maybe what your right is, below maybe what your status is, below maybe what how people view you is. Jesus took on the form of a servant, not only to serve what God asked him to do. He served not only God, but he also served all of humanity. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and this act demonstrates his love for us and how we should have love for one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." What does it mean to serve one another? It means we have the right mindset, but it's a mindset of love. It's a mindset of loving one another. Jesus' act of washing the disciples' feet, it was a small act. It seemed big, but comparatively to what he would do in the next few days after that, it was a small act of service. But he gave it to us as an example that we are to follow. That when the need arises, we're to set our pride aside and get into a position of service, being willing to serve each other, being willing to take the place of a servant for someone else. We have to have a mindset that looks for ways to serve those around us, even if it means that it's doing a demeaning task. Even if it means doing something that maybe I'd rather pay somebody to do that. That's kind of gross. But sometimes God calls us to do those things for other people. There's a second trait in here, and it's very brief. The second trait of a servant is sacrifice. Verse 7, we read it already, and it's three words, but emptied himself. Jesus emptied himself. Jesus chose to lay aside many of his divine attributes. He was no longer all-knowing. He was no longer everywhere. He was laying aside many of those divine attributes. He emptied himself. He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. I wish I could understand what that actually meant for him. To be God, to know all, to be there in creation where you're designing atoms. You're creating light. You're creating color. And then you lower yourself to a point where you are one of those atoms. Where your skin has a color and all of a sudden you're limited. You've emptied yourself. It takes a sacrifice to serve others. It takes a sacrifice to give to others. It takes time. It takes energy. Sometimes it takes finances. Sometimes it takes a lot of work and sweat. It takes a sacrifice to serve and give towards others. The final trait, Jesus emptied himself. The final trait is, it's in your notes there. The final trait is humility. Humility. Verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Serving others requires humility. Serving others sometimes requires that you put on the towel to wash other people's feet, or you put on the apron to serve them a meal at the homeless shelter. Serving others sometimes requires you to be humble. A couple verses before this, in verse 3 of chapter chapter 2, Paul wrote, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Count others as more significant than yourselves. The disciples, all of them came in and expected to have their feet washed. They were arguing over who was the greatest, who would get the best place at the table, who was going to sit next to Jesus. They were having this argument. But Paul writes here, count others more significant than yourselves. What did Jesus do? He saw the need and he counted all of his disciples as more significant than himself. And he knelt down and he washed their feet. We're to be outward focused rather than just inward focused. Rather than being focused on ourselves, we're to be outward focused and focused on others. I think Jesus gave a great parable when he talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read it. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus is being questioned and he begins to tell this story. He says, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" Jesus gives this parable of this good Samaritan, is what we've entitled it. What about the other two? What about the priest who walked by on the other side? What about the Levite who, "I don't want to get involved in that mess. I don't want to deal with that. That's messy. That's not at my level. If I do that for a priest and a Levite, if I do that, I'm going to be ceremonially unclean. I don't want to have to go through the whole process of getting clean. I'm going to walk away from that." But then the Samaritan walks by. And at the end of the story, if you read on, Jesus asks the lawyer who was questioning him, he says, "So which of these men do you think was a neighbor to the other?" The lawyer can't even say Samaritan. He says, "The one who showed him favor. The one who had favor upon him." Jesus gives us this example of service through the washing of feet, through the parable of the Good Samaritan, that we're to be serving others, we're to be loving our neighbors as ourselves. Two men, a priest and a Levite, sounds like the beginning of a joke. Two men, a priest and a Levite, saw themselves as more important than the man who had been beaten on the side of the road. So being a servant takes some humility. We had the opportunity to have the funeral dinner here for Bill Fisher and his family this last Tuesday. Something stuck out to me during the dinner. My family was up there, but I was trying to make sure, you know, with kids, you kind of have to get them food. And then I was trying to make sure Stacy went and got food and just trying to make sure everybody was kind of taken care of. But I walked up to get some lemonade. Addison Lemler was standing right there. She said, "Can I help you?" I was like, "Sure." She's like, "Would you like some lemonade?" I was like, "Okay." So she takes the cup and she fills up the lemonade for me. And I go back to my seat. I thought, well, that was kind of nice. Later, I see her going from table to table and getting, like, some silverware and people's plates and taking care of them. I was like, here's a little girl who gets it. Now, maybe she was just bored and her parents were sending her off to do something, but she was doing it, and she seemed happy about doing it. She was serving others. She was taking their plates and throwing them away, and she was taking their silverware and putting them in the spots and taking people's cups, and she was helping, she was serving others. Jesus gives us our example of service, and we need to take on the mindset of Christ to serve others humbly by making sacrifices to meet their needs. That's what Jesus is calling us to. He's calling us to serve. There are so many opportunities to serve. There's opportunities inside the church to serve. There's opportunities outside the church galore. All sorts of opportunities in the community, in the state, in the country, in the world. All sorts of places where you can serve. I thought about giving you a few options, but I didn't want to limit it to just a few. They're everywhere. You ask a company, would you like a volunteer? Well, yeah. Sure, we'd love to have more volunteers. God calls us to serve others. In what capacity and what that looks like, God has given you specific gifts. And maybe he's calling you to serve people soup at a soup kitchen. Maybe he's calling you to make the soup for the soup kitchen. Or make the cookies for the soup kitchen. But serve. How does it connect to the disciplines? Service helps us to become more like Jesus, to take on his example and to use it in our lives. It puts us in the right place, understanding what our position really is. That Jesus, the master of all, the creator of all, came to serve God and serve humanity. And if Jesus, the master of all and creator of all, did that, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't I serve other people? Because that's what Jesus did. Not only that, but it gives us this perspective of who we actually are. That we're not in a great position, but all of us are called to be servants. All of us are called to serve others and to place other people's needs above our own. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray you would help us to serve others, to be servants. God, as your example has been given, I pray, Father, that you would help us to not look to only our own interests, but also to the interests of others. God, when we see someone in need, like the man who's been beaten and robbed on the side of the road, that we would be willing to stop and help. When we see a homeless person with the sign, that we would be willing to find a way that we can help. God, you have called us to serve others, and may our love be a demonstration of who you are and what you've done in our own lives serving us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.